are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the Gladiators hopple, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
The crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. It smashes him to the ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
The delicate kick.
He smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson. Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird.
He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild.
Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Depp steps again. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try. It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and Chris Gayle, as they fire up.
Chris, sometimes it's very difficult to fire up when you're a winner.
Yes.
I have to say, after one round of footy this year, feeling pretty relaxed, pretty comfortable, pretty easy on the Cabana Lounge, the daiquiri, etc., etc.
You are wearing one of those broad Panama hats a la Gus Gould that we posted on our Facebook and X-Feed, Stephen. And you talk about winners. Just reflecting on those opening credits as Fire Up moves into its 20th year, and boy, have we got some celebrations planned.
Yes.
They talk about rugby league coaches as one of the least stable jobs in the world. It's 17 people all waiting to be fired. Rugby league commentator Rex Mosser and Ray Warren, long storied careers. And for audio that was made 20 years ago, they're all still in a job.
Gee, it sounds fresh though, doesn't it?
It never gets old.
Now, look, I know there was a couple of scandals, a couple of debacles in the media. Media storms, I suppose you'd call them, with respect to rugby league and sport. But, gee, nothing tops that. What's her name, Kate? Catherine?
And, oh,
the Photoshop scandal?
The doctored photo.
Yeah.
Yeah, like what I love is that we've got a lot of eagle eyes out there, Stephen, looking for flaws in sleeve length and presence of engagement rings and so forth. Yeah. And I think Kate Middleton's owned it. She said, I'm just not that good at it.
She tried to slip in a bloody South Sydney jumper in one of the little kids, didn't she? Doesn't work.
I thought George had up the wahs on his breast pocket.
Now, of course, we're just going to wrap up this whole scandal with regard to Spencer Lenu and the Roosters. Once upon a time, he was a Rudy Hill boy, correct? And, you know, he let rip. And unfortunately, I guess laying not sort of claim to responsibility is part of the issue of how people dance around notions of racism and done wrong. And, of course, it's one of the best at the game, of course, is Robbo.
And look, no bigger fans than you and me of Trent Robinson and the Roosters in general. Now, I've talked a lot on this show about how I have season tickets for the Roosters. Stephen, it's no longer part of my community service order.
Right.
I choose to be a season ticket holder because I see them as a progressive club in many arenas. They're now playing at the new Allianz Stadium, and I'm deep in talks with the Roosters to allow me to bring an emotional support animal to the game.
Right.
And
what shape would that take, Chris? Chihuahua that bites.
I was just thinking of a young crocodile.
A young crocodile.
Just sit there very passively on my lap while we take in the action.
Eyeing you very quietly.
So I really want to underline this is not an attack at the Roosters. No, it just so happened to be a Roosters player at the centre of this media storm.
And there are two ways that could have gone, of course, because Robert could have just dumped him and said, well, it's not our go, not our culture. We inherited the bloke. He came with bad form. But no, he stood up for him, and we're talking Spencer. He said the club had accepted the ruling. There was no point in debating the sentence. It's done and dusted. That should have been it, correct?
Easily.
4 weeks, 8 weeks, 12, whatever it is. Now, of course, everybody else wants to step up to the plate, don't they?
Yeah.
Some go, well, he shouldn't have got that at all. He should have got 4 weeks. You know. Then what, Anthony Mundine goes, well, harden up, snowflake.
Mm. So there's a lot of conjecture about this and a lot of, I guess, opinion and rubric around the issues associated with it. This could have been an alternative approach. Spencer, did you say it? Yes, I did.
Yes.
Right, that's the penalty. Here's some education programs. We don't stand for that. move on.
Yep.
Then there's the Roosters way.
And Robbo is nothing... I wouldn't say he's Churchillian, but he likes to expound upon things, doesn't he? He's got theories on theories.
We've highlighted the fact that Robbo certainly positions himself as a Renaissance person.
Yes.
And as far as I can tell, the only reason or backing behind that is he can speak French.
Yes.
Right? Because he played French rugby league. And he gets away with things like naming referees when he's upset with calls and the way that other referees...
Calmly.
Yeah. And, of course, it's the Cameron Smith dispassion that sort of, because you're calm when you're saying the most heinous things, it seems somehow reasonable.
Does that not sound like legalese in its essence?
He would have been a terrific barrister. Absolutely.
Is it not also true that he's trying to say, you can say something racist, but that does not make you racist?
Yeah, and look...
Is that the nub?
And in essence, do I disagree with that? But did that point need to be made?
Yes.
If Spencer said the term, did we need to wait 5 days for him to agree?
Yes.
Did we need to hear in the media, oh, an unnamed Brisbane player said something that he was responded to? Yeah. Well, name him and charge him, Roosters. Yes. You know, to get into the nuances, as I'm sure you will, about what the terms mean and what they reflect. And Robbo, he's still talking. It's like 2 weeks,
Stephen. And I say, we haven't heard the last of racism as prejudice plus power.
No.
Coupled together. We're going to keep hearing that term over the year, I think, or years to come.
Well, you know, hopefully, I think that there are two terms that we're going to hear about this season. Racism as prejudice plus power and I slipped in the shower.
Right. He says, if you think an immigrant who has parents from Samoa and New Zealand who lives in Mount Druitt is trying to put someone down through their power, then you're way off the mark. Oh, that's an interesting... That is legalese, isn't it?
Yes, and again, I would agree that that's not necessarily reflecting a position of power.
Yeah.
However, the origin of the term, and the term we're obviously using here is the word monkey, does come from that definition. Yeah. And so therefore, the colour of your skin, your background, doesn't come into, can someone call someone a monkey on a rugby league field? And I think the answer, incontrovertibly, 8 weeks, no.
Yeah. He goes, he's not racist. His use of language was on trial. Then that just opens up another door, doesn't it? You know, where are we going with this one? He goes, if anybody can stand atop their mountain... Jeez, I wish I had one of those, Chris. Their mountain. If anybody can stand atop their mountain and look down on people and judge them on the way that they talk in society, then a lot of people are doing that, and that's where I have an issue. So there's another... The issues just keep piling on, don't they, with Robert? But he's known for his mountaintop talks, isn't he?
Well, he is, because tomorrow's game day.
Yes.
And whether it's Kilimanjaro or base camp at Everest, Robert likes to be sitting on some mountaintop and pronouncing.
Yes, yes.
And look... I'm happy that we've had a public discussion. Yes. I'm happy that the issues have been ventilated. But Robbo now seems like there's a wind howling up there and no one's listening, mate. Let's just get on with it.
He's sort of fanning the issues a little bit, though. But there have been some other responses, haven't they?
By the way, that's the Roosters way.
That is the Roosters way. And then, there's Anthony Mundine way.
That's another way.
That's another way. And then there's a man from Manly, who I think we've had some sort of form with before. And his name, of course, is Homoli Olakuatu.
Yeah, by the way, when you said Manfred Manley, I said I used to love the Earth Band. I mean, what a great band. You know, the cover of Blinded by the Light. But yeah, Homoli, who certainly I think was front and centre in the Pride jersey issue, the Seaside 7 for Manly Warringah in recent times. Yes. And he certainly, given his perspective, which he's entitled to, Stephen.
You think politics beckons? And what party?
What's interesting to me is you're probably not overly familiar with the current Manly Warringah CEO, Tony Mestrov, right?
Not at all.
Interestingly enough, he comes from a background in greyhounds, which we might get to in a moment.
Stand up and be proud.
But he's looking for income streams that go on forever. So the idea is that the Four Pines Park / Brookvale be converted into long-term accommodation for emergency services workers.
That's a great idea.
And I looked it up. Yeah. Fire people, ambos, politicians.
Oh, politicians.
So I think Homoli's looking for a long-term accommodation solution here.
His comment was, and he didn't have to do this, did he?
No, one has to talk to Bullfrog Richie.
We do use those words for banter and for a laugh. Okay, we're in trouble already. We don't use it for anything else or have any emotions behind it. The Tongan International told reporters on Tuesday, we've been called everything growing up. Us Polynesians have it tough growing up. We've all seen Once Were Warriors.
Sure.
Okay, we know about that sort of thing.
We appreciate that.
I know that's all not Polynesians, but... Yep. Was the 8 weeks too long? For me personally, yes. It was way too long. At the end of the day, he apologised, right? He got charged. That's it.
And we're not trying to stand in any particular camp here, Stephen.
Yes.
Other than 8 weeks was the number. What's in a number? It's done.
Yeah.
We move on. The fact that it coincides with the Roosters in 8 weeks' time playing the Broncos and therefore Spencer won't be able to take the field, maybe, but it's not for us to judge.
Are you now telling us that we're perpetrators?
Look, I think we've got to be careful about how much more we need to explore the issue. We were obligated to explore the issue as part of our contract. But I always think, Stephen, that as I often do, and I mentioned Tony Mestrov and his corporate background after rugby league being in greyhound racing, yeah. I think you need to always get the really clear perspective on these matters from Greyhounds New South Wales.
Yes, indeed. Now, they put up a... Now, you can't blame the kiddies, can you? Because somebody's grandfather has got a greyhound, right?
Yep.
He goes, kiddies, two boys, love their footy. What are we going to name him? They go, well, we love Ezra Mam. Mm-hmm. But let's call him Ezra Man, like the man.
I love that, little twist.
And then it's fantastic because, let's face it, horses and dogs have got funny names. And they run out of names very quickly.
And look, I probably shouldn't do this because there's some legal questions, but look, I'm involved in cockfighting. And
yes.
And I call my rooster Stephen Ferris.
You do.
Come on, Ferris.
Is he gonna
get in there.
Is he going to live another night? You know?
Get pegging. Yeah, dial in, Ferris. Yeah. Dial in.
Fight club. Fight club. Okay, he's got this pan liquor. We all love pan liquors. I don't know where he was racing.
I love pan liquor. I'm a dish liquor. But this is, again, this is examining our use of language.
Yeah, and I'm assuming you don't hit the crocodile to the pan liquors gathering.
I've learned from bitter experience that I need to keep my emotional support animal separate from my income stream forever, fighting chicken.
So,
cock.
A contractor... Not actually part of the team of I think, Greyhound Racing.
No. I believe it was Sportsbet is where the content was placed, and they're referring to the Greyhounds New South Wales contractor.
Otherwise known as GRNSW.
Yes, I stand to be corrected, but that's my understanding.
So then they put a little tagline to actually bolster up the fun, like Volander style, the fun of betting on anything. And he goes, go bananas. Let's see if we can get some positive headlines tonight, read the notes for the runner Ezra Mann, followed by descriptions of the dog's recent form. And all hell broke loose.
Yeah, so it's
more so than Kate, yeah. Catherine, whatever her name is.
Well, it was on a
Photoshop.
Path. Yeah, and there's two schools of thought here. One, it was an incisive political commentary along the same vein as Wayne Bennett, without naming people, referring to them as drama queens.
Yes.
The other is he's just perpetrating the same sorry stereotypes,
yes,
and
yes.
No more greyhound racing for you.
Yes, yes. Great joke, not. And so what was the end result? I think that contractor, whoever he worked for, I think betting, New South Wales, axed.
Mm.
Yeah, that's one man down. Mm. The kiddies were in tears.
Until
yeah.
Ezra saluted for the third time in a row. The Ezra man won that particular race, and that's three in a row. So,
see, there's a happy ending.
And look, I'm assuming, like most Australian children, that these kids are involved heavily in betting and they would have pocketed quite a nice earn.
Okay, well, that's a nice story. That's a far-up story if I've ever heard one.
FBI Radio presents...
FBI Radio Sold Out is back at the National Arts School Darlinghurst on Sunday, April 14.
A celebration of the best grooves, club classics, new soul and disco from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. We sold that broadcast live from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Catch me, Stephen Ferris, Kate Munro, Josh Beagley, The Godfather, Jonathan Chalui and Finlay Ferris.
Plus live performances from Juanita Tippins, Sergio and Leroy Jones. Tickets available now from Humanitix. Sold Out Live. Helping FBI Radio level up the training ground.
To win tickets, head to fbiradio.com/presents.
The Australian Institute of Sport, Chris, I think there's some sort of recommendations for those that do a lot of travelling, of which you were hoping to do to Vegas but didn't, because you didn't take the information on hand, did you?
No, I mean, travel is a complicated thing at the best of times, Stephen, yeah. And particularly if you're not on the Dreamliner.
That was the Dreamliner 2 weeks ago, the ones the Roosters got lucky on, correct?
Yes, well, the flies at a lower altitude, yeah. Humidified, yeah. Climate controlled.
Moves very fast.
Yeah, changes, moves, lighting, depending on what part of the continent you're flying over and all those sorts of things. Unfortunately, in recent times, one of the Dreamliners realised that it was flying too high, 36,000 feet, said, hey, we fly at a lower altitude. And they dropped and a number of people were suffered minor injuries in a cabin.
Right. But if you want to sort of get through safety, what are the recommendations, Chris?
Okay, because Manly on, and can we yet again just take our hats off to Fiji Airlines, wonderful people, award-winning airline. But they were concerned about recovery after the brutal game against the South Sydney Rabbitohs. So they needed advice as to how to travel, Stephen, in order to aid your recovery. And you can't just rely on anybody. You go to the doyen of advice in these matters relating to sport. You go to the Australian Institute of Sport.
Oh, yes.
Malcolm Fraser's wonderful contribution after we won no gold medals at the Montreal Olympics in 1976.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, that's where it all came from.
Yeah. Feeling guilty, was he?
Best we did was a silver in the hockey. It was okay. Just a disaster.
Malcolm Fraser, you say?
That's right.
What a track record.
Yeah.
Though he did redeem himself later, didn't he?
I love how he and Goff came together.
I know.
Yeah. And more I could say, but, you know, time's against me. So take a note of this, Stephen. Next time you're flying back from one of your fancy interstate gigs, celebrity weddings, .. in order to aid your recovery, pack an eye mask.
An eye mask?
Neck pillow.
Neck pillow. Wow.
Eye drops.
Never heard of it.
Nose spray.
Nose spray. Clean and awesome.
Noise-cancelling headphones.
Yes.
Compression socks.
Yes.
And comfortable clothing.
Right. That's just first class, right?
Right. So they got that advice from the absolutely peak advisory body in relation to sport in this country, the Australian Institute of Sport. My intel is that cost them about $20,000. Mm. I'm now looking at the Fiji Airlines brochure about travel tips,
yes,
which is in the pocket of every seat on a Fiji Airways or Airlines plane. And it goes as follows. Pack an eye mask, neck pillow, eye drops, nose spray, noise-cancelling headphones, compression socks, and comfortable clothing. Manly Warringah, you lead the way.
Goodness gracious, Chris, I would have thought that medicinal cannabis would be a far better option than that.
Well, that's in rugby league's future, Stephen.
Okay, fire up. Here we are. We're back in a moment. We've got a little bit of media watch, I think.
I think to underline the Vegas experience, we hand over to Redfern Pat.
We think it amazing.
There you go.
You know what they say, the backbone's connected to the hamstring bone.
You don't gamble to win money. You don't do it to become rich. You do it to entertain yourself.
I'm Redfern Pat. This is Media Watch. First, let's look at the fallout from Las Vegas.
This is the most hyped commencement to a premiership season the game has ever seen.
I don't want to blow this at Jared, but it's one of the greatest events in the history of the game.
You can go over the top. I've covered the Sydney Olympics. I'm going to put it up as I haven't been to a better event.
And that enthusiasm certainly carried over to the rest of the media.
We should take the NRLW over there because
A World Club Challenge in the lead-up, even a triple header on the day or the day before the World Club Challenge the next.
Also, do you like the idea that if you win, Roosters Manly won, that you get to stay on?
All six teams of your son are triple header.
I actually think next year will be a sellout.
I think that maybe we'll get to a stage, maybe by that fifth year, when we see that the whole competition is first round is out of Vegas. I don't know how.
Wow. They'll
do it.
That's fundamentally what it's going to be. Get a game on each and every week.
Got a sports minister, Steve Camper, who's gone, well, after the success of Vegas, he wants a team out of Vegas.
Manly Seagulls owner Scott Penn in talks with 49ers for part ownership of the club.
Saudi Arabia trying to change their image with sports and tourism. Perhaps they go, well, let's speak to the NRL. We'll pay you to come here.
Mm.
And if the goal was to cut through to new markets, the NRL certainly achieved that, making its way back to the ABC.
Hello, I'm Paul Barry. Welcome to Media Watch. And in case you missed it, the NRL went to Vegas and the media went big on the party.
There was also a breakthrough in the US with Brooklyn-based blogger David Lengel following along on The Guardian.
Wait, another player, bleeding. Is this normal? Croker Lachlan is really banged up. This is like human cockfighting.
Next, Dan Ganane seems to have cemented his spot as the game's top commentator, welcoming us to Vegas.
Viva!
Delivering this Ric Flair-style promo.
Hello, here's Arthur's into the backfield, comes into Walsh. Las Vegas, bright lights, big cities, Reece Walsh. Woo!
And also playing the hits, giving his first televised goodbye in 18 months.
Oh. Intercept, it's Jason Saab, goodbye!
And our first reference to Ben Hunt's 2015 drop ball.
Ben Hunt puts that one down.
Finally, Canberra showed how to play this time of year.
And they just played round one footy.
While their opposition seemed to have some confusion.
The Newcastle Knights, they were playing round 27 football.
And this philosophy was at odds with the teams over in Las Vegas.
Watching it on the screen, it was like a semi-final.
it wasn't like a round one game. It was like a round 26, 27 semi-final game. So
what works? Well, this was Manly.
Look at this side here, Dan. Take us through it. I mean, there is a number of players here.
While the Sharks' game plan worked,
they need to score points to beat this Warriors side.
Meanwhile, Des Hasler misunderstood what round one footy means.
As for Des Hasler, he was extremely happy with his team. He said it's round one, and if we win on the scoreboard, that's all we need to do. Wasn't over concerned about not scoring points.
Chris Gayle, Stephen Ferris, say, listen, it just said, what else we need? Paul Barry is all we need. Hello, Paul Barry, fire up.
They say that if you can make it in Vegas, you can make it anywhere.
Yeah.
If you make it to Media Watch,
yeah,
you've made it.
Yes, well, the NRL has, no doubt about that. And I'll say it again, Paul Barry. though I do think, what's the point of us being here? Media Watch is all we need. It just wrapped the whole thing up.
Paul Barry's a divisive figure, Stephen, but I will always be grateful for the moment, because he wrote the Rise and Fall of Alan Bond,
yeah,
as opposed to the Rise and Rise of Kerry Packer. And when Bond was on trial and Paul Barry sort of met him on the doorstep to the court he was walking in, and he goes, Mr. Bond, Paul Barry, and handed his card. And Bond looked at the card and then stamped on it, and he goes, oh, you do remember me.
But that was not the occasion where he pretended he had no idea about anything at all.
No, was during the trial where he had no recall.
That's right. Now, we can talk about Paul Barry being man of the year, etc., but I would say the person of the year at this point in time is Kylie Minogue.
Is that right?
We just heard from Kylie.
In denial. I mean, they always say it's so-and-so's world, we're just living in it, but that's true for Kylie this year, isn't it?
Can I just say, just announced Splendor.
Yes.
That is going to save festivals across the country.
And it's an exclusive. She's not playing anywhere else on that particular occasion.
Okie dokie. The Grammy.
Yes.
Padam padam.
Padam padam.
Padam padam. The Brit Awards.
Beautiful tribute. She did four songs. Finished with All the Lovers, one of my favourite Kylie songs.
I Know It Breaks Your Heart. Vegas. Residency. You weren't there.
No, I wasn't there. And she, of course, was at the game because she was one of the celebrities that the NRL highlighted. Didn't want to be identified.
And then finally,
just wanted to go to the game.
Yes. And finally, after 40-odd years, Madonna actually acknowledged it. They got a photo together. She came up on stage and sang for International Women's Day, right?
I Will Survive, the Gloria Gaynor classic. And am I not right thinking that Madonna used to be a little bit demeaning in regards to Kylie? And it's beautiful to see the... and Madonna was proudly emblazoned across Kylie's chest.
Yes.
And Madonna was just wailing away on that acoustic. It's a beautiful moment.
It is a beautiful. Now, one downside, Chris.
Which is?
She's a Victorian.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't think she's got a rugby league team. I don't think.
We're all trying to work out which of the next four teams are going to be, Stephen. And Kylie says, listen, Abdo and Volandis, I've nailed my colours to the mask. I stopped my residency so I could come and watch your wretched games. I will... In contrast to the Stafford brothers at halftime, I will do the halftime entertainment, a la what I did at the Brit Awards, if the Storm
you
gets
think
a run.
That's the big finish this year.
Yeah. And
Kylie in October.
And, you know, Molly's not in his rudest health at the moment, but introduced by Molly.
Pants on.
Just the hat.
Just the hat.
Just really okay. The hat and some chaps.
And how could she say no to...
How could the rugby league say no to that? Because let's just remind ourselves, Stephen, on the celebrities at the first Vegas visit.
Yeah.
Lachlan and Sarah Murdoch.
Yeah.
A couple of Los Angeles Rams and Tim Zoo.
Yeah.
Wasn't glittering.
Now, look, to be loved by all, you've got to be Kylie.
Mm-hmm.
Rugby league is not that.
No.
Rugby league can survive on a few things. Hate is one of them, we know that.
Yes,
a little bit of hope for me at the moment. But generally, the term this year is true grit.
Yes.
Grit is going to get you through this year.
And if you're thinking about the importance of grit, and I think it's the new word for resilience, Stephen.
Yes.
You immediately think of the inspirational words that you always hear in a post-match presser from Ricky Sticky Stewart.
Of course.
Well, what was the sin binning for? Pushing.
Taking him out late off the ball, right. I think was the call.
Oh. Well, the buzzword is discretionary, isn't it? This is a discretionary decision, but you shouldn't have even been, penalising. But if we're going to start sin binning people for that, we're going to be playing a lot of games of 12, but if that's a sin binning offence, and that is then a week off, it's got to be consistent every week, every game, but it won't be.
Wake me up, Chris, will you? Wake me up. Now, that's not even Dow. That's nowhere near explosive. It wasn't classic Ricky. That was just, Jesus Christ.
Get me a gun. That was a round one presser, Stephen, not a round 27 presser. And let me tell you, my Tigers are no chance if that sort of Churchillian caper is going on in the Canberra dressing room, where I believe they didn't have Alan Jones in the first round, but they did have an Eftham poster up in the background.
Okay. So who are your motivators at the West Tigers?
Gee, I would immediately go Chris Heinington.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about in the office admin?
Well,
Shane.
Well, Shane Richardson is the interim CEO, Stephen.
Surely he's got a bit of go in him.
He's got track record. I call him Richo of Nazareth.
Yes.
Because of what he did for the likes of Cronulla and South and the Penrith Panthers, and you know, I guess a semi-messianic figure is what you need in your club to turn things around.
Mm. Well, you've got Benji, of course.
Yeah. And Richo's comment so far about the Tigers is that we're moving along slowly but surely with purpose and dignity.
With purpose and dignity.
That's what you do when you get a bye.
Yes. Round one loss.
don't you feel when someone says we're moving with dignity, that automatically takes you to a loss, doesn't it?
Totally. It means you're in trouble, big time.
Huge trouble.
There's been death in the family. It's no good. No good. Now, there's a lot of discussion about, really what should be a winning combination of Gus Gould, who's probably the most able motivator of the whole, the planet, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if he can straight across some dirt and State of Origin, everybody just gets up and just goes, you beauty, can't wait. Chug a drink and away we go. Cam Serraldo, of course, is Wonder Boy. And apparently he's got a good mean sort of spoken word technique as well. What is going wrong there?
Look, in modern rugby league parlance, Stephen, first of all, your 24/7 coaches, which Benji Marshall clearly isn't, they personify pizzazz, a twinkle in the eye, a general sparkle, underpinned by true grit.
Right.
And by the way, it's not grit.
Yeah.
It's always true grit, right?
Right, of course, yeah.
And when you've got that key
so we're
thing,
talking percentages here, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Serraldo, in the embodiment of true grit.
Yeah.
And what, then you've got to work
80%,
out...
80%,
90%? 95%.
95%, yeah.
That's pretty much what I had with my kidney stone.
Yes.
The surgeon said, I went up there with a laser and I had to break up all that true grit.
Because Cam doesn't laugh.
No, he's not, that's in his contract.
Paul Kent, true grit, laugh, right?
That is in the contract. If you laugh, you're out of here.
You're out of the job.
And rugby league clubs are either development clubs or recruitment clubs, Stephen.
Oh, yes. Okay, so for people who don't understand rugby league, we don't have any players in the eastern suburbs, so you buy them.
Correct.
Recruit.
Correct. Yeah. The Roosters way. We love them. What a wonderful club. Yeah, doing everything perfectly. Robbo, you're a genius.
Yes.
So you basically cherry pick juniors developed by the likes of the West Tigers and Penrith.
Yes.
You put them in a block of flats in Bellevue Hill.
Don't let them out.
And, you know, the privation that they have to go through, that's where you develop true grit, which is living with a bunch of overpriced footballers in Bellevue Hill.
And, of course, unless you're bestowed upon the favours by Politis, who says, well, now you can go to X restaurant.
Yes.
With the group.
Yeah, you know? Alpha. I think George Colombaris has just taken over there.
Okay. That seems to work.
Right. It does work because you've got, let's face it, deep pockets.
Right.
on the other hand, a development club a la the Penrith region or the Macarthur region with the Tigers, you're actually trying to nurture juniors.
Yes, yes.
Then you come to Canterbury Bankstown.
Yes.
First of all, landlocked.
Yes.
Right? Canterbury surrounded by all these other teams.
Yep.
Diminishing juniors as other codes and other interests take over.
Yes.
So you're not quite a development club and you're not quite a recruitment club.
Right.
So you solve it by recruiting a lot of what I would call are tweeners, yes. Stephen.
Well, you said landlord. That says it all.
Utility players. Yeah, you're sort of your Drew Hutchinsons, your Josh Currans. They can play multiple positions. Blake Taff.
Mm.
None of them very well.
Right.
And so what you end up with is a belting on the scoreboard a la what Parramatta did the Bulldogs.
Okay. And then you get to another one of those...
But it's gritty.
It's gritty. Another one of those gritty members is Boy Wonder Fitzo from the Sharks.
Oh, he's the embodiment of grit.
Now, you know, I know we'll upset Brendan Cowell by talking about this sort of stuff, but how are they going right now?
They had a very, very, dare I say it, true gritty win across the ditch against the Warriors, down 12-0 in the early exchanges.
Righto.
And basically what happens is it's well documented that Fitzy is up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go for a surf.
Can I also say that perhaps that mob, you know, Fitzy and co, none of them vote for Labor? That region, no good, don't even bother. Don't stand up, don't be counted, right?
Well, I tell you what, the Sharks were hugely involved in the backroom deals for Morrison's replacement. I'll leave it at that.
Yes, yes, okay.
But what Fitzy does, he goes for an early morning surf, and then the boys arrive at training, and he's just there in his sluggos.
At 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock, yes.
He's there in his sluggos.
Yeah.
Gives him a bit of a tweak, and out comes the sand out of the sluggos. And he goes, boys, that is Sutherland Shire true grit.
Paradise grit.
Yeah.
Paradise grit.
And the players all get, and they feel it in their fingers.
They sprinkle on their cornflakes.
That's right. And then they each get an amulet with a little bit of Fitzy infused Cronulla sand to remind them of how to tackle.
Now, guess what? There's a new sheriff in town. What's happening now?
Des Hasler?
No. Well, Desi, didn't he look like the essence of defeated grit? Once upon a time, he was a winner.
You hate to see a distressed coach sort of run their fingers through their hair and it gets tangled.
I thought he was done.
It's so thick.
No, there's no movement.
And we posted a picture on our Facebook page and X feed of Dez in his Titans gear in training with one of those bucket hats. He looked like he was a tourist in the south of Spain.
Always fun.
I don't know if he really suits beach culture.
Right. There he is at the Gold Coast. He went from Manly, of course. He's done a lot of that, hasn't he?
Yes.
He knows the culture, I guess. But what I'm getting to, Chris, is there's a lot of angst amongst the couches about who's got the most grit, who's the grittiest.
We've run through most of the candidates, haven't we?
And then we've come to the man who was ostracised for many years. That man is known as Flano.
Ah.
Now, Flano, not only has he got grit, he's got Dino, who's grit from 2010, won a premiership. Dino should have been the coach anyway. Put the two together and look out. They're all going, ooh. It sent a shiver through the rest of the teams.
Are you saying that Shane Flanagan's a figurehead? That it's Dean Young pulling the strings?
No, I think it's a combination. The sum of the parts is even greater.
You were very, very impressive on the weekend, Stephen, as was your team. And there was a lot of talk about the impressive body shapes of the Dragons. What's Flano been doing there?
You don't want to hear about that, do you?
A bit of body sculpting?
Man, he's got skills we didn't even realise when it came to, like, you look at it and go, well, we want to get a bit more top up there. We want to get the biceps a little wider. We want to do, well, push up some bench presses, etc., ad nauseum. So there's something going on down, and they seem to be loving it.
Let's face it, Flano has been, in his rugby league coaching career, at the forefront of some experimental approaches.
Yes.
And he's pretty much exhausted what science has to offer.
Yes.
He looks down south, as you would from the Shire. Yep. You see what's going on in Melbourne, and it's alchemy and magic. Has he done some sort of tie-up with some voodoo crowd, in Prometheus style, where he gets the figures of the Dragons players in clay, and then he just sort of take a little bit off here, get a little bit more of a V-shape there? And that happens for real, because that was a different Dragons outfit that we saw on the weekend, Stephen.
Well, there's a running joke, of course, of all fans in rugby league that there's a certain amount of what we call the good drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get it bottled. It's it's secret. It's passed around quietly. Which it doesn't get around everybody.
Yep.
Obviously, Bellamy's had it for a long time.
Yep.
Cameron Smith had it for a long time.
Yes.
As we know why, you know. And, of course, Robert thinks he's got it.
Yes.
I don't think he does.
No.
So somewhere Flano's got his hands on it. As you know, he's had experience in this area.
And I think... we talk about these speeches and the inspiration and, you know, tomorrow's game day and speaking and pronouncing.
Are you
from
talking
mountains.
About Matt Nable?
Hey. Yeah, the florid.
The true grit.
The florid, gritty nature of a Nable.
Charles Bronson.
Magnificent personalities.
Magnificent.
I think Flanagan came in and simply took a look at the boys. It's the first meeting as his role as St. George Illawarra coach. And he goes, boys, you're looking a bit fat.
Right. and like John Way, new sheriff in town, count a few guns on the side.
Yeah.
A few spurs, click.
This takes me, Stephen, to a question for you.
Yes.
How do you feel after winning one game?
Well, when you get told that your star centre was, well, winger was a centre, and was only the 22nd best in the world or in the game, and you're 800,000 a year, that would have really shocked them, wouldn't it?
Talking about Zach Lomax.
Yeah.
But you dared to dream, right? Because you've got to win. And, of course, this issue about finals football, because you haven't been there for a little while, was put to the NRL 360 panel. Let's have a listen.
Please.
They struggle with recruitment, the Dragons. Do you think that Flano can coach them back to the finals?
Looks like we've got to get out of here, Brayden.
Flano's just set the fire alarm off.
Flano's had enough. He's called it a bomb threat.
But the show rolls on. Don't worry about the fire.
Some hilarity there.
You can laugh. Okay, I know. Guess what? It's only round one.
All right, well then, let's not worry about that bunch of buffheads as an expert panel.
Yes.
You're steeped in the lore, particularly from the St. George side of the joint venture. You go to many games. I regard you as a pundit. What do you think and how do you feel that the Dragons finals prospects are this year?
Well, what's that noise? What's going on?
No. No,
that's... Seriously, guys.
Sorry.
Come on.
Stop it. Chris. It's a lame joke.
you can dream on.
All right. Let's move on from
was
that, Stephen.
Sent by Craig Bellamy, was it?
Yeah. The floor is yours. Yeah. St. George, 2024 finals. How do you feel?
Well, for God's sake, enough already.
Look,
don't remember 2010 and Bo Scott and Dean?
Talk me through it, Stephen. Talk me through your prospects.
The great... for God's sake. I'll call it the red and white wall. Defence. All right. I'll hold my tongue till next week, shall I?
I wish you all the very best, okay. Stephen.
Fire up. Back in just a moment.
Where's Louis? No idea. Don't care for now. Guys, where is Louis?
Louis, oh boy, where were you? Where, Louis, oh, where? I said, where'd you go?
Where's Louis? Where were you, Louis?
They went for a journey over the sea. Moore and Gibbs and the grandstand team. But when they made it, they were alone, wondering where their Louis had gone. Oh, Louis, Louis, oh, where? I said, where'd you go? No, Louis, Louis, oh boy, I said, where were you?
Do we know why he didn't go to Vegas?
As their plane flew through the air, they wondered why Louis wasn't there. Were his legs too big for the plane? Or would the cramped space drive Louis insane? Oh, Louis, Louis! Oh, boy, why didn't you go? No, Louis, Louis. Oh, brother, I said, where were you?
Did Louis not meet the US visa condition?
Did the visa application reveal some dark secret that you wanted concealed? Well, surely no, it just couldn't be. You refused to fly in economy. Louis, Louis, oh boy, I said, where were you? Where, Louis, Louis, oh brother, I said, where'd you go? No, Louis, Louis.
Where's Louis?
Louis, Louis. Louis, Louis.
Where's Louis?
Louis, Louis. Oh, Louis, Louis.
Where's Louis?
Oh, brother, I said, where were you?
Wow. Welcome back to Fire Up. I enjoyed saying that. For all the people who wonder where their hard-earned taxpayer dollars are going to a left-leaning elitist organisation like the ABC, there's proof positive from Dennis Carnahan. Just one long musical in-joke about the grandstand team.
Yes.
And I think there needs to be an inquiry, if not a royal commission.
And look, as great as Dennis is, and he is great.
Great.
He's not Kylie.
Certainly...
I can see him supporting Kylie at the grand final, but he's not Kylie.
No. Basically,
he's also a Canberra supporter.
If Kylie does halftime in Vegas next year because the Storms are there, Dennis will be out supporting the tailgate parties.
Yes.
Presumably in the high octane winds that they experience out there in the desert near Allegiant Stadium.
Now, some lessons in life, of course, Chris.
Please.
There are certain pathways to losership. And
well, rugby league is a game about pathways, Stephen.
That's right. Now, I would say be very, very afraid. Be very aware of the cab rank.
Yes.
Or we call it taxi rank.
Yes.
Getting into taxis. Potentially, particularly if you want to vomit. particularly if you want to fight or disagree with somebody. Always something will go wrong. Am I right or wrong?
Well, you need to learn lessons, Stephen. And obviously, there's this ongoing controversy for Sam Kerr in relation to the allegation she's dealing with over in the United Kingdom,
right,
which involved an interaction, if I can use that word, with...
Comments were made.
...with a member of the police force...
A year ago, nearly.
...of the United Kingdom, and it will go to trial in about another year.
About another year.
And the lesson she hasn't learned is, again, a pathway emblazoned by rugby league that no good occurs when you get on the Terps and get into a taxi.
And also be aware that it's prejudice plus power.
That's the
T-shirt you got to wear. Now, there's Sam, and she's, I think, is it Indian or Sri Lankan?
Yeah, she's got Indian heritage.
Whatever it is, it doesn't matter.
That T-shirt will be her defence.
But she's in England, two bobbies, right, trying to, a year later, accost her and say she's racist.
It's hard to follow.
Can you follow that?
I can't.
Is there any logic in that?
None.
No.
But... learn the lesson and look at rugby league and blazing in the trail. Yeah. We go back to the likes of Bryce Gibbs.
Yes.
Hopped in a cab in, I think, in North Sydney out to Campbelltown.
That's right.
And then got into an issue, including, Stephen, there were four people involved.
Yes.
Bryce, the cabbie, and again, it was a fair dispute.
Yes.
And two innocent bystanders.
Yes.
Because bystanders can only ever be innocent. Yes. And I think he might have at some stage attempted to remove the fare collection system.
Yes. The whole system.
Yeah.
Because he's strong enough.
He's a big unit.
Yeah. They call him the Gibbonator.
Yeah, scored a try in the GF.
Right. And surely she's got her own car and her own driver, surely.
You would think after three goals for Chelsea against Liverpool in the FA Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
But the...
There's Mark Gasny too.
It's the DNA of our show, Stephen.
Yeah, Mark Gasny. No good comes after midnight in a cab, right?
Grog.
Yeah.
After midnight,
and a
cab.
Phone. And a phone.
And a phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Disaster.
Okay.
And I've just read a recent report, Stephen, into the changing mix of the transport industry in this great country of ours.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rise of the Uber is being directly attributed to rugby league, because people realise you can't get into a fare dispute if you've already agreed to it before you get in.
One
the
of our
vehicle.
Listeners brought back, it goes way back, to 2003, I believe, or 2004, when Mark Latham celebrating Gough Whitlam's birthday party. That's how long ago it was, right? And decided to have a bit of a brouhaha, I suppose, with a cabbie.
Contretemps.
And Mr. Mustafa, 35, said, "I don't bear him any grudge. He looks like a family man, a sport man, and he may produce a good government." Well, he didn't. The only payback I can take is not to vote for Labor. Just like Cronulla.
Just like the show.
Exactly, yeah. But apparently Latham decided to crash tackle him.
Well, again, rugby league skills coming to the fore. I'd like to talk to Mr. Mustafa 20 years long and say, do you still see Mark Latham as a great family man?
Yeah.
And a potential leader of this country.
And forgiven Labor. You know, come on now. Come on.
All the ridiculous bile he's gone on as part of or thereof of the One Nation Party just dwindles by comparison to that image of him and John Howard meeting outside the radio station and him doing the power handshake on, dare I say, the number one St. George ticket holder, John Howard?
Don't say that. They were both St. George supporters, but don't say that. Please.
Is he still the number one ticket holder in the joint venture? Or
I think quietly that slipped away.
Have they given it to sort of an ex-member of the MAFS cast?
Brian Brown, stand up. Where are you? We need some redemption from these idiots and these clowns that follow St. George.
What other celebrity supporters do you have?
Yeah, Mark Latham. And I think Kylie Minogue.
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay. Oh, dear. Now, some good news, though, Chris.
Great.
If I may. Look, the rise of Alternalife.
Yes.
As a product is growing gate guns right now, and I think they've become a major sponsor to the Dolphins. Correct? Wayne Bennett has got the best cannabis in town on the Gold Coast. Where else would you do it? Alternative, right?
Well, he's embracing the culture, Stephen. Yeah. And of course, you know, I mean, we're maybe not leading the world in this, but medicinal cannabis, Joe John style, is becoming very much in vogue.
Right. No, I think it was what happened was that Desi wanted it but missed out and Wayne got it, right? So it went up to Redcliffe, correct?
That's right. And they've gone into bed with a crowd called Alternalif, Stephen.
Yes, that's right.
And Alternalif is Australia's largest plant medicine clinic.
Buy your stocks now.
Yeah. And
get
so,
in.
So the Alternalif logo will be on the sternum of the Dolphins jersey.
Right, right.
And guess what? They are now the official plant medicine partner of the Dolphins.
Are they performance enhancing, Chris?
Well, it seems like a really, really obvious joke to make, Stephen.
Sorry.
But the Dolphins certainly look like they're on the hooch as they went down in a screaming heap to the Cowboys at Suncor on the weekend.
Right, right. Well, look, I've only got some great news, but is there anything else you'd like to talk about before we wrap it up, Chris?
Well, are you talking about the great merchandise news?
Seriously? If nothing else says the Dragons are big in this year, big in 2024, is brand new merchandise. Can I tell you what it is?
Yes.
It's incredible, really. And there's only one member so far attached to this particular product. It's called the Dragons Bubblehead.
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 Bubble.
Yeah. You put on bubbles around, right?
Yeah.
And it's, guess who? Ravalawa. Now, is there a nicer bloke in the world that could have a bobblehead named after him?
No, terrific first choice, Stephen.
Big head.
And we're talking about the nuance of language and the repurposing of words and the like.
Yes.
I mean, bobble has always had an adverse inference in rugby league. Oh, he bobbled it, knock on.
True.
It's great to have a positive connotation to bobble. And what I've noticed was they had to torch the first run, Stephen.
Did they?
Because they originally went for Zach Lomax, the other winger. And they didn't make, and it was all one piece. It was all molded piece,
right.
And they realised because you see on the shop that you can buy now, pay later for the princely sum of $20,
right? Buy now, pay later,
right. And they realised that pretty much anyone who invested in a Lomax bobblehead based on recent press would want to not buy now and pay later because he's probably going to be he's an Eels jersey,
right.
So they've gone Ravalawa. It's a good first step.
And I was thinking, well, you know, in your own team, who would you like? Would you like Blocker? Blocker's much loved, you know.
Yes.
Would you like Ben Hunt? Well, he's a bit dour, you know, but he's a leader. Not bad. You're right. Zach Lomax might not be capable of doing it because he might not be here any longer. But I hope he is, and I hope he stays for the bobblehead.
Speaking of Blocker Laurie, has he taken the flannel mantra on? Has he dropped a bit of shape? Is he going to be in a different body shape as well?
You're too afraid to look, aren't you?
Very afraid. Yeah.
I'll send you some photos, all right?
If we're talking St. George bobblehead, Stephen, and we are,
yes.
I would love to see a Flanagan bobblehead.
Would you?
Like the old horror movie with Ray Milland, The Thing with Two Heads.
Yes, sir.
And so you actually get the one St. George body.
Oh, with two heads.
Kyle and Shane.
The doubleheader.
Bobbling away together.
Would you like to see that with the Clearys as well?
Would you like that? Yeah. Yes, I would like to see that. Okay. And you could use the Cleary bobblehead. You could actually use...
It's got a jaw, bubble jaw?
For whittling.
Yeah.
Right. Just put a piece of wood in front of Cleary's head bobbing up and down and you'll just shave that the St. George body shape. Beautiful. Right, practical use.
What about the Storm? I like the Pat. The Pat would be a good bobblehead.
Everyone would love a bobblehead with a decent mullet on it, Stephen.
Wouldn't it?
And the Pappenhausen is ripe for being bobbled.
Okay. Anybody else that you would like to see with a bobblehead? Would you buy? What would you buy? Would you buy an appy?
I'd buy an appy, but I would invest in a Shane Richardson because his head would bobble with poise and dignity.
What about of Landis? What do you reckon?
I would consider the purchase for the Volandis head, but I would make the purchase on the how well they replicated the Volandis suit.
Right.
You know, that shambles that he wears.
So I'm guessing we can rule out coaches, administrators. They're not much loved. So they want to sell these things, even at $20, right?
Yeah. Because the whole thing with coaches is they're true grit, so they don't move. They don't show emotion. Their head does not bobble.
I was going to think about, say, Latrell, but, you know, he's a polarising figure at best of times. It's South Sydney as well. Cody Walker, can I just suggest that he could have a bit of a button for red mist? Red mist Cody? What do you reckon?
You're onto something here. Because
kids would like that.
We love, you know, when you're a kid and you've got an action figure and it's just passive, does nothing. But if you had pressed a button and it said...
Shh. Like that,
Or dial in Roosters or something like that. You go, that's value. If you could get a Cody Walker or a Jared Hargraves, red mist bobblehead, just a little subtle press of the button, boom, and then crimson.
And then it's all on.
Oh, my goodness.
Now tell me.
And the head would be bobbling.
In Robbo land, who does shout dial in?
Oh, that's Robbo.
Oh, it's Robbo himself.
That's Robbo.
Well, he's going to have his own doll, isn't he? Don't you think? Otherwise, Teddy's got to do it.
And the trouble is, the Robbo doll, you'd hit that, and it wouldn't be dial in, it'd be whatever dial in is in French.
Oh, and then of course, you've got to your own mountaintop, own delivery of to a Chilean speech that goes on for 20 minutes. For God's sake, that's not going to sell, is it?
Tomorrow's game day bobblehead. It will not leap off the shelves.
Are there any other, nobody in Parramatta, but nobody wants to know about Parramatta dolls, do they?
Look,
maybe Mika Sava.
Absolutely. I mean, he's a
solid unit.
He's a loved figure.
Yeah.
And maybe you could get a specific bobblehead for Mitch Moses' groin, which actually went
during Moses' groin.
It went during the game, and you know, I'm, as you know, Stephen, a lip reader.
Yeah.
And the trainer runs on and goes, "Mitch, you look like you're struggling. It's the groin. What's wrong with it?" And he goes, "Trainer, I slipped in the shower."
Oh, another one.
Another one.
What about Saab? Where's that hamstring?
He's actually resting comfortably. The hamstring is in Philadelphia.
So no bobblehead for him.
No, Billy Knowles is attending to said hamstring, and we're looking forward to a positive result.
Any other famous figures you'd like to see a bobblehead made of? I mean, I'm thinking top of my head, Cronulla? No.
I went to Kylie Minogue straight away.
Cameron Smith.
Well,
is that possible?
Well,
too late for the game.
You know, like John Waters, they're doing a bit of a festival at the Randwick Ritz at the moment, and there was polyester with Odorama.
Oh, yes.
And you scratch and sniff.
The card. Yeah.
Press the button on Cameron Smith.
Sulfur. Okay.
What's that smell?
I think that's about it for me, Chris.
Well, Stephen, I've got just one thing, because we're talking about winners, and you mentioned in the bobblehead discussion Ryan Pappenhausen. And heartwarming story, because he had obviously the huge issues going back several years, most recently the fractured ankle, and he's been rehabbing at his
Want to see that again.
We don't. No. He's rehabbing at the home of his second family, and of course, so I'm referring to the Slaters, and he's been spending a lot of time on the Billy Slater Ranch.
Okay.
And to quote Ryan,
hang on, Charles Bronson.
No more John Wayne.
Right. Okay, got it. Yep.
This is what happens when they and we might wrap the show in this note, Stephen.
Yeah.
Ryan says, this is what happens on the Slater Ranch. It's an outlet. We play Rummy Cub.
Ever heard of it?
It's all Rummy Cub, RUMMIKUB, which is a variation on Mahjong, Stephen, I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
And let me tell you, sales of Rummy Cub board games are going through the roof as a result.
Yeah.
We'll play Rummy Cub, cards, feed the horses, or Billy's miniature donkeys, Monty and Carlo.
Wow.
We have the likes of Seabiscuit, because you've got to think like a horse, according to Billy, as opposed to the Roosters think like a chicken.
Yeah.
Seabiscuit, National Velvet, Man from Snowy River, True Grit, obviously.
Come on, there's somebody bigger.
But let's leave you with the opening score from the favourite television show.
And this is getting the pat through the year.
At the Slater Pappenhausen Ranch.
Fantastic. See you next week.
Hello. I'm Mr. Red. A horse is a horse, of course, and no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ray. Go right to the source and ask the horse. He'll give you the answer that you endorse. He's always on a steady course. Talk to Mr. Ray. Will yakety yak the streak and waste your time of day. But Mr. Ed will never speak unless he has something to say. A horse is a horse, of course, and this one will talk till his voice is hoarse. You never heard of a talking horse? Well, listen to this. I am Mr. Ed. This has been a Filmways television presentation.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!